City Current. Produced by Dakota Media Access. In-depth discussion with Bismarck and Mandan city officials. Watch on Government Access Channel 602 HD or tune in to Radio Access 102.5 FM. Always local, always current.
Hello and welcome to City Current. I'm Mary Van Sickle and I'm here along with Jim Neubauer,
good morning,
City
Mary.
Administrator for the City of Mandan.
It's been so long you almost forgot that, didn't you?
I did, and it's been over a month since we've been visiting.
Yep.
And our task, once again, is to talk about what happened at the City Commission meeting last night.
Right.
I should mention, too, that today is Wednesday, January 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
So we're recording in the studio at Dakota Media Access. I can't talk today either. So good to have you back.
Thank you.
Again, we missed you.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but I like the 35 degrees out and versus the, you know, 10 to 15 below zero we've had the last couple of weeks.
A little shift in the weather.
Nice break.
To the positive, yes. So again, talking about the City Commission meeting from last night, it was kind of a busy agenda you had going. And because we missed the meeting, the last meeting you had in December, I just wanted to carry over a project that was on your agenda then, and that's the Midtown East Street Improvement District. Last meeting, you talked about, you summarized whether you're moving it forward, talked about the protests, were they sufficient to stop the project for the special assessment? Seemed to go through pretty smoothly.
Yep. Our last meeting was January 7th, and I think folks had until January 6th to file their protest. I believe 4% or around that 4% of the area of the district protested, so which is a very low amount in my years of doing this.
That's, that was surprising.
Significantly low.
Yeah.
I think it demonstrates this is an area that needs some work, and we recognize that too. So you'll see stormwater improvements, water line, sewer line, and street improvements, and also some sidewalk work done in this area.
I think we do have a map that we could probably pop up and show the viewers either online or on our cable channel what that might look like, what that area looks like. It's a pretty big area. And primarily, as we look at this, all the colored areas are affected in the special assessment district.
Correct.
But the ones that are getting, that will see construction this year and change in their roads and their stormwater, sewers.
Storm sewer.
Yes. Are the blue and green areas on your map.
Right. On the south area, you will see, again, we're looking at kind of from Main Street going north. Main Street will not be touched and First Street will not be touched. But there's some avenues in this area and also going north to the kind of like the Diane's addition, which if you're watching, you can see the yellow addition. There will not be any work done in that area, but this is included in the stormwater portion of the district. Again, because this water
drains.
This water drains south and the pipes and all the infrastructure on the south side of this project need to be kind of adjusted to account for that water.
Because of that development.
Right.
Yeah.
And they, like I said, they were the street improvement project in that area several years ago. There were some storm sewer improvements. So they're, some people like to say they're getting hit twice, which I can't lie, they are. But again, part of their water that hits that area is ending up in the southern part in the street reconstruction area. And therefore, storm sewer assessments are paid kind of on a per square foot basis because every raindrop that hits has to go somewhere. It's either going into the ground or going onto the street and into the storm sewer. So a little bit of controversy and a lot of discussion points.
Always on
that.
Special assessments.
Yes.
So we see that with every project that comes in front of the commission. It's sensitive. People are very sensitive.
Absolutely. They're never easy and they're expensive. Can't lie. We are using the Prairie Dog money that we hope to be getting here in 2020 and 2021 as part of the buy down of this project.
Okay.
So similar to what we did on the Southside Street Improvement Project, we bought down that local share or that special assessment by 20%. We are applying that same theory and that same formula to this area. So the street work you'll see bought down by 20%. And we're also going to do water and sewer in here, which will be paid for out of our utility fund. So folks will not be special assessed for the water and sewer.
And as you said, it was surprising, but with only 4% protesting the project. It clearly is moving forward. And last night there was an agenda item. It was actually on your consent agenda, so it didn't get any discussion. But it's related to this and the fact that there was an amendment made then with the contract with Moore Engineering now to move this forward.
Yep, and that's how we typically will enter in a contract with the engineering firm. We'll get up to a design of 30%. That's when we feel we can get a pretty good cost estimate. So we put that out there. Give the folks an opportunity to say, here's what we believe and estimate on what the specials will be. Mm-hmm. And if they protest the district out, then we haven't gone to a full 100% design and had to pay those fees.
Yeah, absolutely.
But now in this case, this contract will get us up through design and bidding on the project, which will occur this spring.
Mm-hmm. And it will all be dependent on the bids coming in.
Yep.
Hopefully within the range that was estimated, and then it moves forward. And again, this summer is
to be 2020 construction. And, you know, as all projects, we put a completion date, I think, normally by October 31st or October 1st with some things will carry over into the following year if there's a chip seal involved and things like that. But again, major construction this summer should bids come in where we estimate them to be.
Another big street improvement project is your downtown street improvement project. Now, this does not include Main Avenue. We're going north from Main.
Yep.
West to Collins,
starting at Collins and going west. To 6th Avenue.
Okay.
The roads kind of like from Main Street up through 2nd Street.
Okay.
The avenues in there, there have been a couple that were redone in concrete with the installation of the remediation pipes and things like that for the system. So there's a couple streets in here that are okay. But the remaining ones, we'll look at curb, gutter, sidewalk, and streetscapes and things like that.
And last night on your agenda, the commission selected the KLJ to move that project forward.
Right. I think we had put out a request for proposals. If memory serves me right, we either had 7, 9, or 11 different firms. We have a rating team that goes and scores these and ranks them and then calls, I think it was 3 or 4 firms in for interviews. They will be interviewed, and then that another team will then rank those, and the one that scores the highest will... We will hopefully get the commission to approve a contract with them. And that was KLJ last night.
And that move forward, yes. And this is not a project for this summer. We're looking at 2021?
2021 or 2022.
Okay.
Again, in the downtown area, you've got some streets that need significant work. We're looking at water line, sewer line, storm sewer.
Sidewalk,
whether we
curb.
Yep, whether we do the alleys or not is in question too. But again, a lot of the water mains in this area are undersized. For the buildings that they serve. So we'll look at replacing those. And again, as part of the Governor's Main Street Initiative, this project, we had applied for grant money and we received about $2.4 million in grant money to assist in paying for the project.
Yeah. And this is not to be confused with another downtown project that's going on. And that has to do with the library and the park and the conversion of your 4-lane to a 3-way. Yep.
Several things. I'll try and put it in time frame format. So we've got the Midtown East street reconstruction project going on this summer, depending on bids this spring.
Sure.
We also have the conversion of 4-lane to 3 lanes on Main Street, which will happen from Collins Avenue going west. That project will happen this summer in 2020. We've got hopefully an addition onto the Morton Manon Public Library, and also some Dykstra Park improvements that will be going on the summer of 2020 in the fall. And also then the next project we just talked about was the street reconstruction on the avenues. And again, we're trying to hit some things in 2020 and then 2021 or 22, because to pile all those projects into one at one time would be very disruptive.
Yeah.
And like I said, we'd love to be able to do that, but there's a reality and there's no way we can get all
those done. There's a lot of commerce going on down there.
Correct. And,
yeah. You don't want to disrupt. So a big part of the discussion last night, a big project coming in front of you is this emergency flood protection services. There were 4 motions made in relation to this issue, and it seems like basically a preemptive strike on potential for flood damage this coming spring. So explain a little bit where you're at with this.
You know, I think there was a forecast that came out earlier in January. There will be another forecast coming out February 13th. We know that the soils are saturated from all the rain we got this fall. We know that you know, the releases from Garrison were running about 45 to 50,000 CFS all summer to try and get some water out of Lake Sakakawea to get into that exclusive flood control zone. I think that's what it's called. I think they were able to accomplish that. But again, we know that the ground is so wet, the water's going to need to go someplace. Anticipating, you know, we've got a forecast right now of below average temperatures and above average precipitation, which is kind of a, it's a mix for flooding in the spring. The water or the snow is going to melt. There's nowhere for it to soak in. It's going to have to hit the, whether the Heart River or the Missouri River, some way, somehow, some shape. Our contract last night, or there, like I said, four motions. In essence, we want to get KLJ on board. Excuse me.
Because they're the most familiar group that worked on the last flood issues as well.
Yep. In 2011, they were very beneficial and very helpful to us to get, you know, we did the plugging of the bays with clay, the help of Department of Transportation with all of the trucks. And, you know, we were able to close streets and get that accomplished, which was kind of a last second thing. Well, we think this will work, but let's try it and see. This time we're looking at KLJ being able to go out and put a design for what we call sheet piling. And maybe we can do sheet piling in those bays so we are not as disruptive to the surrounding property. And also, you know, the damage on all those thousands of trucks running up and down the streets is horrendous.
Yeah. A lot of labor involved, obviously. So Josh just popped up a map, and this map is from 2011, and it really shows where some of that protection was put in place at that time. Unfortunately, our map is chopped off in the bottom, and we're not showing Lakewood because there was considerable efforts in that area as well. But it does demonstrate, I think we've got some, like, something to point out here would be those rectangular sections, little rectangular boxes with lines in them that are orange. That's where those clay
plugs were installed. And we have, going from north to south, we've got Bridgeview Bay, we've got Marina Bay, we've got Borden Harbor, and then we've got Lakewood. And again,
these continue to be your areas of concern. This is going to be the area of focus.
And a lot of it was not just the over the top water. It was the groundwater that was affecting people's homes and getting into the basements, and some pumps weren't able to keep up. And I think they call them sand veins that the pressure from the river puts on your groundwater also has a tremendous effect in this area. So
the, one of the motions, as you said, was to push out the bidding requirements for this particular issue and allow you to move forward with KLJ to start the process of topographic surveys, entitlement searches, like it's similar to an easement, what properties are you going to need to access, those types of things, and bidding process to move forward.
Yep, this contract takes us from, again, where we're at today to design elements of, okay, if, you know, installing sheet piling seems rather simple in the world where you're just going to pound metal into the ground and but you need to know what that ground is underneath and how far you need to go down.
And the place to put it.
Place to put it and things like that. So one of those things that we said last night is that hopefully we won't have to install sheet piling this spring. You know, cross our fingers. We can't predict what's going to happen, but we can be prepared. And if we need sheet piling, then we should start going out for bid and securing that as soon as possible.
Find materials now.
Yep, find the materials. And find folks and then contractors to do the work.
Sure.
Because if we wait until April or May, when we may need it, those contractors may be gone and that material may be gone. So, like I said, this effort is to take us up to a point where we can bid this work out, but we don't have to necessarily award contracts to do the work until we have a much better idea on what the outlook is going to be.
And Braun Intertech, we're also, he's another vendor that'll be involved in this, doing some geotechnical.
Yep, Braun will be the one doing soil borings and things like to figure out, okay, what does it look like under the mouths of the bay? So if we do have to do sheet piling, how far down do we have to go? How far up do we have to go? And what's the right design for it? So they're part of this project too. You know, we'll start meeting with some of the homeowners associations and trying to make sure our plans are coordinating with what they have going on in this area, and start looking at easements.
Well, And one of the motions associated with this was also allocating $100,000 from sales tax to be used for this. There is a potential that some of that money could be reimbursed.
Correct.
If a federal declaration is made for a disaster area. That is a possibility. But I think it was interesting as I looked at your materials, it said, even if that doesn't happen, and we all hope it doesn't happen, right? This information is going to last for quite some time.
Correct.
And this will be available in the future for these areas to be protected. So there's value there.
There's value to this, whether, you know, like I said, knock on wood, and we hope we don't have to do these installations this spring. But once this plan is in place, we're hopeful that, you know, there, if we are in the same situation in 2021, we've got a basic design on what we would need to do, and we can move forward from there.
Mm-hmm.
With there's no opportunities for recoupment of federal funds or FEMA money through this unless you have a federal declaration, which, you know, we'll see if there is. But like I said, the money will be well spent, and that's what we have kind of a reserve in our sales tax fund to account for situations just like this, that we need to move on this, because if we wait until there's a declaration, there will be not enough time to get a design, get things bid, get contractors in place and things like that. So
absolutely. This is already somewhat of a tight time frame, but
time is of the essence.
Yes.
And like we've been kind of watching the weather for the last couple of months. We've been having discussions with KLJ for the last few months too.
And I do know that you've been pushing out information, and we've talked about it before, about people getting their flood insurance in line.
Yep, absolutely.
Check for that. Get your sump pumps working.
Mm-hmm.
Check them out. Make sure they're operating correctly, because we could be facing a lot of issues.
Yep, and I think we've we've done some Facebook posts, we've done some news interviews that said, you know, flood insurance, you just don't go in and buy it today and you're covered tomorrow. There is a 30-day wait period. So again, we encourage folks to, it's always up to the property owner's discretion what they want to do, but we would encourage that they look into it as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're going to wait till, hey, I'm flooding next week, it's too late. So now is the time to start having those discussions with your agent.
So. Right. So there'll be some activity down in those areas. People should expect that there's going to be some movement among these professionals to get down there and do some surveying work.
And that's part of, like I said, we'll get together with the homeowners associations in this area and say, you know, here's what you can expect from us, and, you know, what they can start seeing. If they see trucks running around, at least they'll know, okay, KLJ is down here doing some topographical work. We've got Brown Intertech doing some geotechnical stuff.
Sure.
Why are they here? Well, here's where they're here. We're trying to be as proactive as we can.
Oh, and I would think you'd be welcomed by any homeowner who has a big investment down in those areas.
We think so.
Absolutely. Moving on to the other parts of your agenda under resolutions and ordinances, a couple of items that were tabled previously to have a little more discussion and input, and that was adoption of both the fire code and the building codes. These are 2018 fire code and building code, but this is just how it operates.
About every 3 years, I think there are updates that are made, and we in turn presented these, I think, in December. And I think, you know, we had first readings, and then they got tabled to make sure that, and I think the builders and the commissions both want to look and say, okay, how are we working, how are Bismarck and Mandan working together on these items, so that if you're a builder, you know, it's pretty easy if the codes are the same on both sides of the river. And in probably 99% of the cases, they are, but there are some differences. And so I know that our folks had a meeting with Bismarck folks on January 15th, talked about where each side stands. And I think the Home Builders Association was included in there.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think, you know, while we're going to be extremely similar in what both communities do. And
as I recall, it was one or two items that were different.
A couple minor items, and we'll work through those, and I don't think the builders will have any issues going forward.
Well, that moved forward. Also under resolutions and ordinances was the granting of the gas franchise for the city of Mandan through Montana Dakota Utilities.
Right.
No big surprises here, but we just wanted to mention it because this franchise doesn't come up for renewal very often.
No, they're usually 15 or 25 years.
Yeah.
I think this one may have been 25 years, you know, before our time working on it. And really, it grants MDU the right to go into our right-of-ways and install gas lines.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not an exclusive right. So if there's another company that wants to come in and serve our community, they certainly can, but we would have a franchise agreement with them too. But it lays out, you know, if you're going to dig up the streets, you are going to repair them and you're going to put them back in a condition that is equal to or better than when you started.
And there's a cost involved with all of this. Any building project that's happening that is going even a little bit underground always has to get permission from these entities to make sure that we're not interrupting their lines.
And it's not an overarching thing for the community to do, because we have to manage those utilities that are in the right of way so that they're put in the proper places.
Right.
You know, in a lot of our older parts of town, you'll find whether it's a cable line or a fiber optic line that is laying right on top of a water line or sewer line, makes it extremely difficult if we have a water line break to go in and fix that. Mm-hmm. If we're having to, well, we might have to cut a cable to get to our infrastructure. Right. We want to make sure that that infrastructure is in the proper place. Not saying that is 100% in the proper place, but we try and do our best to make sure that they can get access to their infrastructure and the city can get access to ours in a reasonable and logical manner.
All these lines running under the streets of the city. And it's one of the many things that city staff work on that people don't have any idea. It's invisible. We don't see it. So
nowadays it's kind of interesting when you talk about telephone lines, and I don't know what the ratio of folks that have landlines is anymore, but it's getting fewer and fewer. But you've got telephone line, you've got cable TV line, you have
internet, wire, cable,
copper, fiber optic, fiber. You've got water, sewer, stormwater, and in addition to that, you throw in our wire for our streetlights, and you've
and
got
the gas.
And the gas, and you've got a lot of stuff. And so again, our job is to try and manage what's in the, what's in that public right of way for the public's benefit.
And every time you guys are ripping up a street and replacing sidewalk or whatever it might be, there's all these pieces have to be considered. So
not as easy as it looks.
Again, not a big deal. Didn't really have any much discussion. It went through pretty easily, but a 25 year franchise is significant.
Yep. And well, that was the first reading, public hearing last night. We'll have a second reading on our next meeting
in a couple weeks.
Correct. Yeah.
And I think it's interesting too that the mayor asked your city attorney Malcolm Brown about, is this an exclusive franchise? And your attorney said, no, there are no exclusive franchises, but there's certainly a considerable investment by this Montana Dakota Utilities to bring in all these gas lines. So it's open to others, that, but this is,
It's not saying MDU is the only company that can do this.
Right.
If someone wants to come in and install gas lines to homes and give people an option, they're more than welcome to. We're seeing a lot of that with our telecommunications with Midco, and now Beck is asking for those same
bringing in the internet lines
to bring those in lines too.
Yeah,
so giving the customer other options to work from. But the gas is a little more tricky or a little more difficult to install than
absolutely
fiber optics.
Yeah.
Times.
Touchy, but they all have to come in under the same conditions and through a franchising process. So just interesting. Other than that, we just want to talk about some public meetings that are coming up, some real significant ones. A couple of them have to do with Metropolitan Planning Organization, which is the umbrella transportation group for Bismarck, Lincoln, Mandan,
Burley,
the region.
Morton, correct.
Right. Yeah.
And there's, I think, the 2045 public input meetings. Mm-hmm. There will be one in Mandan on,
tomorrow
from 11:30 to 1 o'clock at
so this
Mandan
would be
City
Thursday
Hall.
The 23rd. We shouldn't
correct.
Just say tomorrow.
Thursday the 23rd. There we go. If you're listening to this on February 1st. But again, there's an opportunity for you to show up at these meetings. There's another one on an intersection analysis study, which again, crash data is collected from intersections throughout the state of North Dakota. And in turn, that information is passed down to the locals. Again, a Metropolitan Planning Organization study. Luckily, Mandan does not have any of the high crash sites, as you will see in Bismarck and Fargo and Grand Forks and some of the bigger communities. We're very fortunate, and we'd like to thank our engineering and planning department do a pretty good job in saying, let's make sure these intersections are safe.
Yeah.
But again, another opportunity for the public to express their viewpoint.
And when we were just talking earlier, I just wanted to point out too that this ARRIVE 2045 plan that's referencing the year 2045.
Yes.
This is a long range transportation plan for our region. And it's really, it is important because it serves as a as a template, if you
template,
will,
blueprint,
for as we move forward with new projects and whatnot. This is the go-to document that planners are going to go back to, or builders, yep, developers.
A lot of landowners and developers mm-hmm. will come and ask for this plan, and that's why, again, there's considerable work done on this to yeah. say where will our main arterial roads be and our collectors and things like that. So if you have a mm-hmm. piece of property on the outskirts of town and you're looking, well, how is this, what can my property develop as and what mm-hmm. will it look like? You know, if you've got a major arterial road running through your property, as is shown in this plan, you're probably not going to want to put single-family homes
exactly.
next to that main road. You might be some commercial, some apartment buildings, right. some multifamily or things like that. But again, it serves as a blueprint. When a developer comes in and says, here's what I want to do with my property, we make sure it marries up with this plan. And it's something that, you know, if someone comes into our office right away and asks, we will say, you know, you need a long-range transportation plan study. Here it is. Here's how it affects your land. You should start designing around it. And it allows our Planning and Zoning Commission to look at plats and things and say, all right, we need 60 feet of right-of-way here or 80 feet here mm-hmm. or 120, whatever that may be.
Right. So, and building developers, your mm-hmm. planners all reference this, will reference this document as time goes on. And it can be modified, and it should be modified as time goes on. But it's also important, I think, for citizens that are looking at buying property in mm-hmm. new developments and whatnot, or in rural areas especially, to take a look at this and understand where these roads are planned.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely
difference.
Right, is to say if you're looking at buying or developing a piece of property, and what are the roads, the major arterials mm-hmm. going to look like in that mm-hmm. area, and plan accordingly.
Right.
Not that this plan is set in stone.
Right.
It can be amended and it can be adjusted, but this is our best guess as of this point in time, and we try and make sure that, you know, the property owners and developers understand that.
Yep. So, and you mentioned that the final meeting for one of the final public input meetings will be tomorrow at Mandan City
Correct.
Hall, Thursday the 23rd, 11:30 to 1 o'clock. You can also find the information online at arrive2045.com.
Right.
So you can get in there and take a look at things, too. They are taking comments for a little while, but they're in their final phases. The intersection analysis study, mm-hmm. I am just to mention, their website is bizmanias.com. And you yep. can get in there. It's a bit of an interactive map, too, to look
Correct.
At the intersections in Mandan that are going to be discussed and
yep.
reviewed. And this is, again, a time for input. So it's important to jump in there if you're concerned about that and want to take a quick look.
Right.
So you have a meeting happening tonight. We're a little reluctant to talk about it because we do replay this this program for all the next week. But again, tonight, which is Wednesday, January 22nd,
right.
you have the kind of your final public input meeting. It's your final, right?
It is our final.
For the
unless
remediation.
Something happens tonight.
Yeah.
But our diesel fuel cleanup project, or our remediation project, as we like to call it, has been going on since we, state of North Dakota and City of Mandan, settled with BNSF back in July 24th, I think, of 2004.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been at this for roughly 15 years. And really, the system, we haven't been operating it for probably the last year and a half to 2 years. As part of, we had a site closure strategy when we first started the project. We have received, you know, we go out and measure what kind of product is left in the wells that we have, and we've found that things haven't changed in the last couple of years. So there's really, we can keep spending a lot of money and not make any more progress than we're already at. And like you said, that's part of our strategy, was to get to a point where we have cleaned up as much as we reasonably can clean up. And therefore, right now, it is time to shut the system down completely, start plugging the wells. Tonight is an opportunity for the public to come in and say, you know, if we have missed something from a trust standpoint and from a Department of Health or Department of Environmental Quality standpoint, we haven't heard really anything from folks for several years.
Mm-hmm.
But again, this is kind of a last chance to say, hey, come on in, let us know if you're having issues with the building or you see something that we're not seeing.
Sure.
We do have a letter from DEQ that says you have met the site closure strategy and the requirements as we laid out 15 years ago.
Wow.
And therefore you can start shutting complete decommit. We call it decommission. We did shut the system down a couple of years ago. Now we can start decommissioning and plugging wells and be done.
The end is in sight for you. Yep. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You have already removed some of the wells, correct?
We've probably removed 75 to 100 wells over the last several years. Probably 3 years ago, we plugged 77 of those wells in the downtown area.
And how many do you think you have left?
We probably have 200. I think we had between, roughly 300 wells.
Wow.
So we've got 200 left to close. We've got some buildings that we need to kind of, I'll say, gut. There's a lot of equipment and things in those buildings that we can pull out
Big
and
project.
Potentially reuse those buildings for other things. So, a good day.
So, barring any issues this evening, it looks like that process will start where these final removals will take place.
Barring anything unusual tonight, we will then start contacting. We have several property owners downtown with wells that are in their basements and piping. We'll be contacting them saying we'd like to come in and do you want to leave the piping in? But we want to plug the well. If you want the pipes to stay and you want to use them for something else, you can do that. But we probably will get most people saying, take everything out.
Yeah.
We'll take it out and we'll get them to sign off that we have done what we said we were going to do and we'll move on.
Well, again, congratulations. This is a big, big step for Mandan to get this settled
and done. We're pretty pleased. Like we've said before, is it one of the best compliments we've had since the system started. Once we got up and operating, was people would say, well, when are you going to start cleaning up? Or we didn't know that was still going on, which means we have done things to keep it out of the spotlight, and there have not been issues.
Right.
And we couldn't have done this. I'll have to put this plug in for the property owners in the downtown area without their cooperation and their feedback and their patience, most of all when we were tearing up streets and things like that, a project would not have been as successful as it has been. So again, a big shout out to those folks.
Big check this off your list.
After, I think, our 331st meeting will be tonight in the project. So hopefully we will never get to 400 meetings on this.
There you go.
Yep.
Well, again, congratulations on this whole project and wrapping it up. So, and thanks for being here again. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thank you, Mary.
Thanks, Jim. And thank you for tuning in to this edition of City Current.
For more information on what was discussed in this episode of City Current, visit cityofmandan.com or call 701-667-3215. If you have any suggestions, comments, or issues you would like addressed in future City Current episodes, contact us at info@freetv.org. This program airs on Government Access Channel 2 and 602 in HD, or on Radio Access 102.5 FM. It's also available as a podcast on radioaccess.org and as a video viewing link at freetv.org. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of City Current.